Good morning. I'm going to start by saying that I picked a bad Sunday to preach this message. This is a message that the entire congregation should hear this morning and not just those on Saturday night and early service Sunday. The 10:30 congregation portion of our congregation needs to hear this too. It's quite possible that I will develop a sermon series based on the theme that I'm going to preach on today. But that's the only thing that I think is bad about the sermon this morning. I think as far as the Word of God goes, it's going to be pretty impactful and pretty profound. We are going to take a look at Luke chapter 1, Luke 1, page 1587. Page 1587. Luke chapter 1, page 1587. This is one of those classic Christmas time texts, but it's going to say something quite pertinent to us this morning. In the sixth month, this is in verse 26 of Luke 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This segment of the scripture is called the Annunciation. The term Annunciation comes from the root word announce, and it's the moment when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to announce to her that she was going to bear the Christ child. This was a most striking, a most shocking revelation, of course, to this young girl because, the angel appears to her, and that's a surprising and scary enough thing when an angelic visitor shows up unexpectedly, and that's why in verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel has to comfort her and still her first before he delivers the message. This is a very beloved section of the scriptures. The Roman church especially holds this as a prized piece of revelation because they venerate Mary. And they hold Mary up to receive special recognition in a way that no other human has. The Protestant church, the non-Roman members of the Christian church worldwide, make a very specific point to say that we should not be elevating Mary. We should not be giving her titles such as co-redemptrix, or mediatrix. These are terms that would put Mary almost on an equal level with Jesus, literally kind of making her a female counterpart to Jesus. in many respects. So this is a very contentious piece of scriptures in many ways, because the Roman Church's elevation of Mary and veneration of her, and the Protestant Church's lack of doing so and insisting that she simply was a regular woman whom God used in this miracle of sending the Christ child. We are not going to spend much time on that aspect of this account. What we are going to do is to learn a very important lesson from Mary, which is quite profound when we understand its entire implication. It focuses on verse 38. When Mary is confronted with this information that is quite surprising, it's going to be life-altering, it's completely unexpected, the ramifications of her being selected as the one to bear the Christ child is sweeping. Her whole life will change, and in a moment she finds this out. And it's not really been posed as a question, it's been delivered as an assignment. And Mary's response is, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." The Roman Church has properly said that Mary exemplifies profound faith at this point, and that her willingness to do God's will is exemplary. This is absolutely true. That's what we're going to focus on this morning, is the willingness of Mary to have God dictate what happens in her life and for her to follow it in faith. You'll notice that the sermon title today is an actual reversal of Mary's statement. Mary said, "May it be to me as you say." What we're going to consider today is that in our culture and in much of Christianity in North America today, the mindset has been reversed, where we are almost saying to God, "May it be to you as I say." In other words, this sweeping feeling or sense among Christians that God is primarily existing to give us a good, fulfilled, happy life, as though we should be able to bend God to our will, that we should call upon him in order to meet all our needs and fulfill us for our benefit, for our gratification. There's a key word that is mentioned here in Mary's statement. "I am the Lord's servant." Servant, slave. We're going to focus on that a little bit. But first, I want to take you to a movie that was quite popular, a comedic movie. It was called The Princess Bride, and I've referred to this movie before. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Princess Bride? It's just a good old-fashioned fun movie, and it's clean, and you can show it to your younger children. They won't get all of the subtle humor in it, but they'll get the more comedic slapstick stuff, right? But the movie is chock full of spiritual themes. If you've never looked at it and analyzed it as a parable, a story of spiritual themes, I encourage you to go back sometime. If they have it on Netflix, you could watch it on Netflix. If they don't, you could rent it, DVD. The story, in essence, is a love story, and it is about a girl named Buttercup. That's a wonderful fairy tale name for a girl, right? Buttercup. And a stable boy named Wesley. And so Wesley is the serf, and Buttercup is the privileged maiden, right? And in the beginning of the movie, it becomes clear that as Buttercup orders around Wesley, every time she gives him a command, his response is, anybody know? "As you wish." "Stable boy, go fetch me that bucket." "As you wish." And over time, it dawns on her that every time he says, as you wish, the way he's saying it, he really is conveying, I love you. And so their relationship blossoms into romance and love, but then there's intrigue and Buttercup is abducted. The rest of the movie is largely Wesley's taking on the persona of a rescuer, the man in the black mask, and he goes chasing after her through all kinds of perils and intrigue. At one point in the movie, because he is wearing the mask and his identity is hidden, there is an ironic moment where Wesley is rescuing Buttercup and she doesn't realize it's him. Instead, she sees him as this nasty individual and she loathes him. So he is standing near a very steep ravine, and as they are discussing, he turns her back and she shoves him and says, then you can die, and she shoves him. He goes falling down the ravine, and as he heard her say, then you can die, as he falls down the ravine, she hears the words, as you wish. And then suddenly, shockingly, it dawns on her, oh, my Wesley, and she throws herself off the ravine. As you wish, I would do anything for you. I love you. Obedience to God and love are directly linked. And it is a sign of faithfulness and commitment to God that a Christian considered themselves in service to God. Well, not just service as in the local plumber or, you know, statistician, the accountant, or someone who helps you with your taxes, as a slave. One of our congregation members recommended a very good book to me recently called Slave by John MacArthur. And in it, it highlights the pervasive use of the slave-master relationship in the New Testament. It is inescapable. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Master. We are servants of God. We are slaves to Christ. Our culture worked so hard to get rid of slavery, and we see it as so loathful that we don't want to have anything to do with it. And yet this is an absolutely clear relational description in the New Testament. And it is a spiritual reality that Jesus Christ does not call us to be associates. He does not call us to be friends of God. He calls us to be a slave to Him and the cross. Along with this, in America, we have decided that it is more important to have a faith of convenience than a faith of commitment. And where convenience and commitment clash, even Christians in our culture are largely choosing convenience over commitment. Let me give you a good example. In the news this last week, there was an article entitled, Some Mega Churches to be Closed on Christmas. And you're like, say what? Anticipating low attendance on a Sunday holiday, pastors are canceling services. This Christmas, no prayers will be said in several megachurches around the country. Even though the holiday falls this year on a Sunday, when churches normally host thousands for worship, pastors are canceling services, anticipating low attendance on what they call a family day. Now you see what's happened in our culture. Even among Christians, people have started to get the notion that Sunday is not so much a day of obligation and servanthood and faithfulness to Christ. It's a family day, a day we take off, a day we just enjoy each other's company and lounge around the house, read the paper, drink the coffee, scan the internet, whatever, and we relax. That's what Sunday's for, right? And so people have gotten used to the convenience of alternate worship days. Well, we'll come midweek. Do you have midweek service? This and that and the other thing. So all of these churches, in an attempt to be successful, see, this is one of the keys behind the problem that we're facing is there is an attempt to be successful as Americans. So these churches have tried to do whatever they can to be successful and draw crowds and to get big Walmart-type services and things available for their members, because that's what's popular, that's what's desired, and that's what's necessary in order to be a successful, a highly successful church in our culture today. But here then comes the convenience issue. Well, with that successfulness, you know, we want a convenient faith. We want it to be tailored to our needs and our schedule, and church should be able to oblige me when I want it at a certain time. Or if I want a certain type of activity that I want to be engaged in. What do you mean you don't offer this? Christianity in America, by chasing successfulness, has now turned the equation backwards, and may it be to you, God, as I say. I'm the spiritual consumer. Why don't you cater to my needs? And we have totally inverted this situation, where instead of understanding the proper role as being a servant to Christ, God is supposed to serve up his convenience and blessings to us. I doubt very highly whether there will be Muslims this year that if Ramadan falls on a certain day of the or a certain time period it starts, let's say it's a month-long thing, that if it starts at the inappropriate time according to the calendar, they're going to say, well, I don't know if I'll be attending. We have suicide bombers in the name of Allah. But we have Christians who find it difficult to muster the commitment to forge ahead to worship on the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, because it's a family day. We're in trouble. Christianity chasing commercial success in this country is in major trouble, because we have lost what it means to be a servant, a slave of Christ. One of the things that's kind of interesting in John MacArthur's book is that it could even be considered in Roman times a high honor to be a slave of a very notable individual, a member of the Senate, or a very successful individual. A slave of this individual could carry a great deal of prestige themselves, and they might be treated extremely well. You see, it was all dependent on the character of the master. If the master was mean-spirited and nasty and abused his slaves, tough for the slave, because they were just the property of the master. But if the master was kind and considerate and an authentically good man, he might treat the slaves extremely well, and they would have a far better life than had they even been a free man. The scriptures paint the picture that we were under the domination of Satan. who as an evil, cruel master would love to destroy us. And Christ set us free not to be independent, not to have convenience for our faith, not so that God would sit and try to tailor everything to our pleasure, but that we would be slaves to Christ, that our resources, our time, our energies, our motivations, our mindsets, our speech, everything about us would say, I serve Jesus. You know, what if the Annunciation would have taken place today? Just hypothetically, and the angel Gabriel comes to a young girl today with the typical attitude of Christians today, and he says, Hail, you are highly favored, you're still a virgin. By the time they're 20 or so, 85% of even Christian young people have had sex already outside of marriage. Where's the servanthood to purity? So the angel looks and he finds a virgin, and then he says, Hail, you are highly favored. You're going to bear the Christ child. And the young girl says, Well, what's that going to do to my body? That'll wreck my body. Or she might say, Where am I going to come up with the money for that? Or she might default to the one that Moses tried on God. You remember Moses, you know, after God keeps telling him, I have chosen you to go and appear before the Pharaoh, you know? And Moses has all these different excuses. Oh, I'm not a good communicator, and this and that and the other thing and that. And finally, Moses defaults to the ultimate answer, which is, please get someone else to do it. Can't you find someone else? Mary is profound in understanding her role to God, her relationship to God. The Master says, do this, and you do it. The angel says, God's plan for you is such and such. And Mary says, I am the Lord's slave. May it be to me as you have said. There are many commands in the scriptures which, frankly, in Christianity today, we ignore. And the reason we ignore them is because they're not convenient to us. We want to accept the blessings of God as an American Christian nation, but we don't want to be servants of God. Not when it comes to the tough stuff. I'm guessing that in your heart and your mind, you know, and especially if you've read the scriptures, you know the commands of God where you have not wanted to keep it because it clashes with your convenience and your desires. I sense among the clergy in America there are very few that are now starting to say we have erred badly because we have made a Christianity of convenience and it is impinging upon our faithfulness to God, our servanthood to God. And in our own lives, I would urge you to go back and reread the Gospels again and listen to the words of Jesus, what he says about personal purity, what he says about use of our money, what he says about testifying to his name, what he says about giving to the poor and the needy and not amassing riches and wealth for ourselves. And you will find that we have a long way to go when it comes to being a slave of Christ. and making him first and foremost and the only master in our lives. May it be to you as I say is very popular today in faith. A Christianity that exists in order to make our life wonderful. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about a God who came to suffer, to die, to strive in order to redeem us, to purchase us back from Satan, sin, and death, to make us a slave to Christ, to God, to serve him. There is no other ultimate paradigm in Christianity by which we are to operate in faithfulness and service to God. Mary understood that. Mary got it right. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Amen.